Today, St. Luke has two wonderful parables of Jesus's to share with us. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. It's a very famous parable. Now, Jesus knows that the scribes and the Pharisees, the leading religious authorities of the Jewish people in his day, are complaining. They're complaining that Jesus is spending far too much time with sinners, even worse, public sinners, welcoming them and dining with tax collectors and other such outcasts who are known to have shown little respect for the law of Moses. And when Jesus sits at table with these questionable people, you can really imagine the anger it arouses among the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees believed that the Lord God must be worshipped and must be strictly respected, and his laws must be rigidly observed because, well, they come from God himself. Jesus' teaching and behavior is seen by the Pharisees of his day as challenging the authority of Almighty God. But here's something that might surprise you. Theologians, New Testament scholars, believe that Jesus himself, in his own heart, was a Pharisee. Why? Well, traditionally, the Pharisees had been the heroic defenders of the faith against those who fought and sought to destroy it. They were the ones who believed deeply in the sacred scriptures, the Bible, especially the Torah, the law of Moses. Jesus believed in the teachings of the Pharisees. But it pained him to see the Pharisees of his day becoming more and more rigid. They were making the law merely endless rules and regulations and rules and regulations, while leaving the very heart of the law, the practice of love, the practice of compassion, the practice of forgiveness, far behind. And for Jesus, the heart of the law was to be found in God's love, compassion, forgiveness, not just for the children of Abraham, but to be shared for all humanity. One day, that love would change the whole world. And if you look at the last 2,000 years of history, indeed it has. Now this is why Jesus tells the story of the Good Shepherd. The one who leaves 99 sheep in a safe place and goes in search of the one who has strayed. The one who is lost. What does it mean when Jesus says, I, Jesus, am the Good Shepherd? It means, as I think he would say, I have known you from your birth and I love you. You are mine. I love to be with you, to walk the streets with you, to teach you how to love each other, how to forgive and care for one another, as my Father and I care for you every day. And my Father's love is not just in the talking of it, talking the talk, if you will, but it is in the living of life itself, walking the walk. If you look for me, you will find me. You will find me among the lost and the lonely, the needy, the unwanted, the rejected, the forgotten ones, for those who have lost their way, I seek them, says Jesus. And when I find them, I bring them safely home to where they belong. Ah, but you might question Jesus, why do you go in search of the lost ones? And his answer would be something like this. My friend, if I don't go, who in the world will go? And what shall I say to them? Shall I tell them that we have a God who loves only a certain group of special people, a selected assembly of chosen ones, sort of like the group gathered here this morning, to which we are fortunate enough to belong? No. What Jesus does say is when one person leaves the flock, loses his way, wanders about too far, alone, lost, and hungry, I must seek him out. What is this man's value? What is his true worth? Well, if we took a poll among those in the world, they'd probably say, ain't worth nothing. Ain't worth nothing. But before my Father in heaven, he is worth the good shepherd leaving the 99 sheep to go in search and in service to the one who is lost. Up and down the hills, wandering, even though he knows that the sheep might, when found, reject him, might not want him, might refuse to return to him. But you see, the good shepherd is his Father's Son, and the Father's Son will keep on trying again and again and again. And when the shepherd finds a lost sheep, should he scold him, punish him, as he well deserves, put that sheep in time out? Yeah, put him in time out. Or will that good shepherd lift him gently up, put him on his shoulders, carry him safely home, and then call all the neighbors to throw a party to celebrate the return of one lost sheep? And what is Jesus saying to us? He says, amen, amen. I say to you, the angels in heaven rejoice more over one sinner who returns home than for all the 99 who never left. Now that's good news, my friends. Very good news. That parable is 2,000 years old, and it has great power. And I must tell you, I was not there when Jesus first told that parable, but Mario was. You know, I wasn't. I'm sorry. I just didn't get there in time. But Mario did, and he can tell you that parable has great power. Now there's a second parable. It's a little bit shorter. It is the story of a woman, apparently a widow, who is looking for her lost coin. We might ask, how important is that coin to her, a widow? Well, to the people of those days, each coin is worth a week's wages. So let's do the math real quickly. 40 hours in a work week, $12 an hour, $480. So let's just round it off to $500. That one coin was worth $500. It was worth one-tenth of all the wealth that woman had. This is a poor woman who had no husband, no children. So it was a lot of money. And she was worried searching high and low until she found it. And what does she do when she finds the coin? Well, she just is the silliest old lady you've ever seen. She runs up and down the streets, calling all of her friends and all of her neighbors together and says, "Come now, rejoice with me, for I have found that one coin that I lost." And of course, they all came. And perhaps that night they had a very good meal in celebration. Now I ask you, is the woman rejoicing over a coin? Just a simple chunk of money? Of course not. She's rejoicing with her friends, and according to their custom, they are thanking God. The lady knows in her heart that God is with her. This is a woman of faith. She searches and she prays because the presence of God is for her always part of every solution to every difficulty, every one that she has had in her entire life. It is part of who she is, and when sorrows come, she remembers a very ancient prayer. "Seek with tears, but seek with hope, and you will feel God's presence draw ever closer to you." She, who lives her life of faith each day in the presence of her God, rejoices that God, who is with her, is always rather quiet. You see, He's a quiet God. No loud displays, no fancy miracles, no fanfares. But she feels within her heart that God is with her, that God has touched her with His peace and with His love, with His joy and with His hope. And so she calls her friends together, and she rejoices. She calls her friends together to celebrate her great good fortune, and they sing an ancient song of hope. "Rejoice and be glad, for God's love is everlasting." Two parables, 2,000 years old, fresh and full of hope and wisdom to guide us on our way. Hope and wisdom. Now, if you have friends or family in other parishes around our archdiocese, you have probably heard already of the diocesan-wide capital campaign that Cardinal DiNardo has called for. It is a way for those of us who have been so blessed to reach out to the lost sheep and the hopeful, symbolized with that widow. It's got basically five parts: money to rebuild and refresh our seminary, disaster relief fund, sort of like what we did with More Than Bricks, to restore what had been set aside before Harvey showed up. Number three, some grant money for parishes and schools to rebuild that still haven't been able to because of the devastation of Harvey. He wants to make available some Catholic school grants so that young people in the inner city especially can go to inner city Catholic schools. And then he wants to be sure we have a little money for faith formation, for training teachers, Catholic teachers, school teachers, church teachers, and catechists. We'll talk later about the amounts that he wants to raise, but I need to tell you, if St. Cyril's raises $3, two of those will stay with the archdiocese and one will come to us, come right back to us. If we raise $30, $20 will stay with the archdiocese and $10 will come back to us. And we have a couple of things on our list of things that we need to do around here. Sound system, the grounds. We've got a number of things, and we'll talk more about that later. Our consultant is a wonderful lady by the name of Christine Goodwin. She is sent to us by the Archdiocese. She was here for the early Mass, and then she had to go across the city to St. Hyacinth's because they're working on theirs as well. And now I'm going to give a heads up to the folks in the booth, and we're going to see a very short video from Cardinal DiNardo.
Sisters and brothers, if you look around at each other, you see diversity. And whether we do it in English, it makes us one in Christ. That's our mission. That's our faith. We want to ignite it.
I want to speak for just a second about one of those goals. The goal I'd like to talk about is our seminary. Our detractors in the culture, based on what the Catholic Church has gone through over the last several years, would simply say, well, just knock the whole thing down with a bulldozer. For Lord's sake, nobody's going to want to be a Catholic priest anymore. Nobody's going to want to go to a seminary. You don't need it anymore. And yet, it's full of young men who are training to be the future priests of our Catholic Church. It is where Father Mario was trained, but good Lord, don't hold that against it. It was where I was retreaded to be a Catholic priest. Just one example of the roots that we have at St. Mary's Seminary. And I could go on with our deacons and all the others, but there's life in this Catholic Church. There's life in this archdiocese, and we thank God for it. The last thing I want to say is that this Ignite campaign is based on a good faith effort by the parish. Unlike DSF, there is no penalty if we don't make our goal. But we're just going to do the very best we can. It's a goal, if you will, but without consequences. And so we thank God for that. And we'll continue with Offertory and DSF. And you'll learn more about Ignite as we go. And you'll have more information. And I'll talk about it. Oh, Lord God, what will I talk about? And Father Mario will talk about it, and others will talk about it, and we'll have things to send home in your hand and read the bulletin. There'll be plenty of information. But this is just a beginning to let you know what's on the horizon. Amen.